This Claire's Matt and Kimber catch-up is for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Hey, podcasters. Claire's Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up, Premier Mark McGowan with the latest COVID restrictions.
Yeah, Lockie gives us his lockdown quiz, and DC, Kimber, she's done me again.
She extended her Wheel of Claire'sy lead. It's now 9-6. What's going on?
And two Mix listeners celebrate their wedding at our driveway dinner on the weekend.
Claire's Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
The latest news poll shows that he's the highest rated premier in the land. We know he's a very humble man, but he's a good intro song for him. The shooting star, Mark McGowan.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to chat with you again. Now, we know, look, politicians often have hecklers, people shouting from the crowd, but you weren't expecting this at your presser.
Take advantage in a responsible...
That was gold, Mark.
Mark, I mean, it threw you for a second, but it's nice to know that people respect you for the hard choices you've had to make.
Yeah, that guy, just so you know, because I could see him as he went past, he was actually three quarters out of his window. He was actually singing right out the window as he drove past and yelled that. It was quite a scene. But it is nice that people say nice things, even if they do drop a few F-bombs in there. But it was very nice.
And great that you could get your chief of staff to do that, Premier.
That set was, it up.
That's terrific. Yeah. Now, Premier, obviously,
didn't have a shirt on. Yeah. Three quarters out the car,
and it wasn't Roger Cook.
I think all of Perth and WA are very grateful to you and your team for the way things have gone so far. But we are entering a tricky bit, and I'm sure that you're all nervous at your end about the easing of restrictions. We've done well so far, but this is uncharted territory we're going into now.
That's right. We've eased a few restrictions. So it means basically 10 people can gather. You've got to stay 1.5 metres apart. You've got to make sure that you have good hygiene, all those sorts of things, which is still within the health guidelines. But we wanted to just give some reward for all the responsibility and good work that people have shown and see how it goes. At some point in time, you've got to start to relax. So we thought this was a good relaxation that allows people to go and see their parents or their grandparents. It means you still have to gather in small groups. And we've also allowed home opens and display villages to open, which will be great for the home building industry. So that's a small relaxation, but a reward for all the effort.
I can hear real estate agents cheering as the news came out, Mark. Mm. How are you going to gauge that, Mark? Very clear, obviously, the discussions were had before doing this. A very clear work on what the numbers would have to be to have restrictions strengthened again.
Well, what you do is you test every day. So yep. We do huge amounts of testing every day, and we're going to actually do targeted testing of teachers and schools and students. So we're going to have an enhanced regime of testing to find out whether or not there's any change from this. And as you go along, if there's no change, our numbers continue to be very low, and now, yesterday we had no cases. Well, then you can make further adjustments over coming months. But it's a sort of a slow, deliberate, cautious approach that measures the change every time you make a change.
And important to reiterate that the social distancing thing still counts. All three of us were just discussing this morning. We went out to the shops on the weekend to grab something and were really surprised at how many people were out and how close together they were. And we suddenly went, did this all happen overnight? This was even before you announced that things were going back to, 10 groups of 10.
Well, that's right. I saw it as well. So the weather was beautiful outside. I saw a bit of that outside. So all I just say to people is as these changes kick in, if we start to see growth in the numbers, obviously we'll have to come down even harder. And, that will be very debilitating for the community and for people's jobs and businesses. So just please do the right thing and we won't have to do that.
And of course, Premier, it's back to school time. A lot of kids going back tomorrow. A lot of the teachers and other staff back today.
Yes, teachers are back today in our public schools, and tomorrow students can go back to school. So we're encouraging Year 11 and 12s to attend. We're saying to all the rest of these students from K to 10, it's parental choice. You make the decision based on what's best interest of your family. My own children were going back to school. All of the advice is that schools are safe. We've got lots of medical advice that says schools are safe. children are very low transmitters. There's $43 million additional into cleaning. We're doing everything about the warnings for parents to stay outside the grounds, everything that we can to keep schools safe. But that'll happen as of tomorrow. We'll again monitor that, see how it goes. But we have every expectation that it will be a safe environment for both staff and students.
The Premier, Mark McGowan, with us. Mark, just projecting forward, mate, if things go well for, what, maybe a couple of months, is that when you start looking at restaurants, cafes, gyms, movies, or would it be sooner than that?
Well, that's a difficult question. I get asked that a lot. And obviously, I feel so much sympathy for cinemas and restaurants and cafes and bars and everyone else. I mean, you know, I know people own those, and I feel terribly sorry for them. But if the medical advice comes in that the time is right and we can do it safely with social distancing and hygiene and, you know, sanitizers and all that sort of thing, well, then we'll do it. But we have to just measure what we've done so far. Bear in mind, this week we've got elective surgery, we've got schools open, we've got groups of 10, we've got home opens, display villages. Measure that for a while and make a decision after that period. I wouldn't think there'd be any further changes for at least 3 weeks.
Yep.
What those changes are after that point in time, we'll wait and see. The other thing we're watching very carefully is we've got four aircraft full of hundreds and hundreds of people coming in from overseas.
Right.
Obviously, they'll be quarantined, but and we're going to hopefully get some of them back onto Rottnest Island. But that's going to no doubt lift our numbers. I mean, it's not us. It's not West Australians here who have done it. It's not transmission. It's just people coming back from overseas. So managing that's going to be a big issue this week.
Hey, Mark, good to catch up and all the best. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Lockie Reed. G'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, team. Yeah, sunshine. Cooks my head. Don't worry about that. After a weekend, 3 days, filling a skip bin. Hoo-hoo, I'm burnt.
Oh, you've had fun.
Yeah. Oh, sensational.
Bin. And you've got to fill it straight away before any of the neighbours go, hey, so-and-so's got a skip bin. Quick, go throw your junk in there. You've got to do it all at one time.
You do, although this one had a lock on it, Kimber. So I would every 10 minutes I'd go out and lock it up and then, you know, make sure it was only my bin. No one was allowed to put anything in it.
Cool.
And, yeah, it had a little lock on it. It was quite interesting.
Fancy.
Oh, that almost seems un-Australian, Lockie, because that's the whole point of driving around the neighbourhood seeing who's got a skip bin you can use.
Yeah, maybe that's why my credit card's at its limit. Maybe I paid a little bit too much for the skip bin. But anyway.
We think with this segment being called the lockdown, mate, you get a bit carried away. What do you reckon?
Exactly right. Ha-ha. All right, so Lockie's lockdown quiz was, it was too easy Friday. I mean, all three of you got 3 out of 3, and it's annoyed me all weekend, to be honest. I like my quizzes to be a little difficult and a little challenging, so this is a tricky Tuesday. And just a little message to you three and everyone listening at home who got 3 out of 3 last week, last Friday. It's like the Eagles and Dockers, you know, when they win a derby, they get all excited, and the next week, it's a big letdown because they don't play so well. So just a reminder, get yourself ready. All right, question number one, a little bit of politics, guys, to get you underway.
Okay.
Roger Cook is the state health minister here in WA.
Yep.
Who is the federal health minister? We see him a lot on the TV with the Prime Minister. Roger Cook is the state health minister here in WA. Who is the federal health minister?
I see his face and his sensible hair.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Look, very smooth character. Very smooth character.
Yeah.
Have you been watching the TV and listening to the radio? I know you listen to the radio, but have you been taking notes of what this person's been saying on our news bulletins? That's question number one. Question number two.
Okay.
Question two. Now, you won't know this sports person, but he is a real person. I haven't made him up. You've got to think of the name to answer the question, okay?
Yep.
Here we go. Question number two. Chuck Long played which American sport and what was his position? Chuck Long played which American sport and what was his position? That is question number two. Oh, there's silence.
Far out.
How you going? Kimber?
I'm still trying to think of the answer to number one. I remember we spoke to him
view.
And I had a crack at him and everything because I wasn't happy about something he was doing and now I can't even think of his name. How rude.
So Kimber's gone, bugger that, that's a sports question, we'll throw that out. Let's go back to question number one.
Yeah.
All right, so that was question number... How are you, Maddie? You were fantastic last Friday, Maddie.
Thank you, buddy. I'm doing all right. I'm pretty confident with number one, not so sure about number two.
Hey, Locke, you know how I digress, but you know how you mentioned about derbies, right? It wasn't this meant to be the derby, the home derby for the Eagles this weekend?
For the Eagles this weekend,
How bizarre.
Amazing that we're missing out on so much footy. But anyway, question number three, more important things, Claresy. Don't get me off tangent here. This is, question number three, who am I dressed as today? I am an original member of one of Australia's most famous groups. I can play all types of instruments and have done so on numerous albums. I was once named Cleo Bachelor of the Year, and I am the cousin of Perth Wildcats legend Damien Martin. One of my band members falls asleep on the job quite regularly, and I love to eat hot potatoes and cold spaghetti. The colour of my T-shirt I wear to all my gigs is the same colour as Lockie Reed's eyes. Who am I dressed as? I want, it's a two-part question. I want the name of the person and the colour T-shirt this person wears in the gig. All right, let's go back to question number one.
Okay.
On the tricky Tuesday, Roger Cook is the state health minister here in WA. Who's the federal minister? Kimber?
I think I might have made this up. Mm. I said Greg. I said Greg Hunt.
Maddie?
Is that even real?
I said Greg Hunt as well.
Clazy?
Bronwyn Bishop. No, I'm joking. I wrote down Greg Hunt as well, Locke.
Is it?
Greg Hunt is a big tick for the three of you.
Love it. Oh, that was a lucky slide, that one.
You political geniuses out there. All right, question number two. Chuck Long played which American sport and what was his position? Maddie?
I went with quarterback. Long.
He was quarterback, yes, in the NFL. Kimber, how'd you go?
I went with basketball and I called him a defense player.
Oh, defense.
So do you get that, Kimber? Chuck Long is the quarterback. Chucks it long down the field.
No, didn't get the reference. I'm afraid
that okay. Claresy, did you get that?
Yes. Yeah, Chuck Long, great.
Yes, good. Good boy.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yes, good on Smarty Pants. All right, question number three, who am I dressed as today? I'm an original member of Australia's most famous group. I play all instruments, have done so in all numerous albums. I was once named Cleo Bachelor of the Year. I'm a cousin of Perth Wildcats legend Damien Martin. One of my band members falls asleep a lot during gigs, and I love to eat hot potatoes and cold spaghetti. My T-shirt colour is the colour of Lockie Reed's eyes. Kimber, who am I dressed as today?
I didn't know if you were having a dig about your eyes, and I thought maybe it was a big weekend for you, so I went with the red wiggle Murray Cook.
Maddie? No? Maddie?
I did exactly the same thing.
That's cool.
And Claresy?
No, I had a guess. I thought it might have been Blue Eyes. Anthony Field, is that his name?
Well, one thing is, I didn't drink any alcohol over the weekend. I've woken up very sprightly. My eyes are blue, and the blue wiggle Anthony is the correct answer.
Oh, Claresy, you cleared the board.
Oh, no, don't say too much. He calls me a smart aleck.
Smarty Pants.
Yeah, Smarty Pants.
Well played.
Well done, team. So that was three for Claresy.
Yep.
You're getting too carried away with this, Claresy. I know over the weekend you and Loz studied a little too much for this.
Yeah, we crammed.
It paid off.
Into the car.
Studying works, kids. Stay in school.
Well done, team. Congratulations. We'll see you tomorrow for another, Wednesday, a wacky Wednesday quiz.
Awesome.
Good on you, Lockie.
All the best, mate. A lot of fun. Claresy, Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix
94.5. All right, Perth, it's time for your favourite game show. Kimber Cahill, come on down.
Yes.
Matt Dutinsky, come on down.
That's what I'm talking
about. You're the next contestants on
Wheel of Claresy.
Now, here's everybody's favourite host, Dean Claresy.
It's that point of the year when we have to say that Kimber is pulling away from Matt. Kimber 8, Matt 6 on the wheel of Claresy, and we need to spin that wheel right now. Is everyone almost ready to play and find out what we're going to be doing?
Ready to go.
Okay, spin it. Jack, our producer, is spinning the wheel as we speak.
That sounds healthy.
It's wobbly. It's wobbly. It's still going. And it hasn't fallen off, and it's landed on this one, which is called First Word.
First Word.
Oh, no.
Basically,
this
we play.
This is Maddie's strength.
Yeah, we play a bit of a song. Okay. You're big on this one, Maddie. The reverse one.
This is your game, Maddie. You do very well.
Play a bit of a song. You've got to tell us what the very first word of the lyrics is on First Word.
Okay,
then, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good.
Feeling a little pressure. Just a reminder, Kimber 8, Matt 6. Let's play. Song 1.
Yep, Matt.
Matt.
I.
Well done.
Nice one.
Yeah, nice score. Starter there for Matt. Matt 1, Kimber. Yet to trouble the scorers. That'd be me. Song 2. Can you tell me the artist for starters? Not that it'll get your point.
Shepherd?
No.
Oops. Shepherd. Maybe I'm hearing the wrong song.
Maybe.
Got no chance
there. That sounded a bit like Shepherd, actually. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's Ed Sheeran's Castle on the Hill, guys.
When I was 6 years old.
Young Ed. Yeah. We're ready for number 3. So Matt 1, Kimber is 0. Here we go.
I know the song. What's the first word?
Who's going to have the courage to say their name
Kimber.
First? Okay, Kimber, what do you reckon?
I'm? Oh, it's not, is it? Damn it.
Matt?
Oh, I know what it is now. Heavens. Hell. Damn it.
Hell. Hell is it. Neither of you got it. Here is song number 4.
Kimber.
Kimber.
Joey.
Joey. Ooh. Okay, so with Concrete Blonde and Joey, Kimber's tied things up with one question, one song to go. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt 1, Kimber 1. Here's the decider.
I, Matt.
Okay, Maddie, what do you got?
I.
You're going with I. Kimber, did you want to have a crack at this one just for the hell of it?
She.
Oh, we've got an I and she. You were working on the first word. First
I knew it
word
was a,
is you.
A preposition. God.
She was working. Apparently she wasn't.
Are we ready for the decider?
Tiebreaker. Yep.
Okay, you ready?
Kimber.
Kimber, have a crack.
I. Love
myself. Yeah! Kimber has a win!
You know what's so frustrating?
What do you got?
I knew that was it, but I've said I for every song so far in this competition, and I thought, no, it can't be.
Thought we might be
it
trying to trick you.
It can't be.
Oh, Kimber, a last minute win.
Well done, Casey.
Oh, that was lucky. You normally take that comp very easy. I find that one tough.
Okay, I've got to say there's a bit of a there's a fair bit of daylight between the two of you now on the wheel of Claresy. Kimber 9, Matt 6.
Yes!
We'll play it again soon, see if you can start making up some ground, Matty, okay?
Oh, I'll try. Claresy, Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. And, of course, our reward for you call it winners or our lucky, our fortunate people, of course, with Mix 94.5's Got You Back with our friends at ABC Blinds on the weekend, guys, was a bit of a spoiling, a bit of a pampering for people in Bayswater.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Michelle nominated Nikki, and Nikki said, let's put together this driveway dinner where everyone in this street in Bayswater was coming out onto the driveway to have dinner together. And we created a playlist. We came on air for an hour, commercial free, and we played all the tunes just so everyone in Bayswater could have a party.
Yes, we did, and we hopefully everyone enjoyed that. But people took that enjoyment to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And Offer and James, well, I have a feeling they may have done something very special. Good morning, Offer and James.
Good morning.
Hey, did you? Let's be honest. We'll cut straight to the chase. Did you two get hitched on the weekend?
We sure did.
In the driveway.
Congratulations. So, tell us how this unfolded. You guys, you live in that street, and so you just thought now's a good time to get married, and everybody celebrated with you.
Well, yeah, kind of. I was just saying to the producer, it's like an amazing act of serendipity. We got hitched earlier in the day And we live on that street, as you say, and
we're still all dressed up.
We wore we were decked out to the nines, eating pizza on our driveway when it all happened. And everybody came to the street and looked at us, and we're a bit more dressed up than everybody anticipated. And so then when people drove around or took pictures, we let them know that we actually got married that day.
So great.
That is sensational. What a way to spend it. And strange times, guys, but I guess maybe you owe one to some family members.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like James's family
is... They're over in Sydney, yeah.
Yeah, they're in Sydney, and so we had to ask their permissions for us to be able to proceed, because we just don't know when things are going to change in terms of the borders. Mm. And, so they were able to Zoom in, and we were able to have a great time with everybody via internet, thanks to technology. Oh.
I think the thing we were saddest about is that, like, you know, we weren't able to have people there. As much as, like, it's about us, it's also about all the people we're kind of welcoming together in the community and stuff.
Yeah.
And then walking out of our house and having everyone there, and caused a bit of a commotion, but actually, like, it was one of the best parts of the day. It was awesome.
Oh, so fantastic, and congratulations to you both. And I'm genuinely interested in this, because I have a wedding set for June the 28th, and we've gone of course, you know, having everything set up to telling everyone that it probably won't be happening and we'll do it on Zoom, which you guys have done. So how was that? How many people did you have at the ceremony, inverted commas?
Five.
Okay.
I was going to say, like, I guess, like, with that wedding coming up, I'd say, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty in the world, but, you know, some things we are certain of, and that's, like, the people we love, and Perth's a beautiful place to be right now. So take confidence in things you're certain of, and celebrate that regardless of what else is going on.
You sound like you should be an international diplomat there, James. Beautifully said.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Oh, thanks, Cuba. Yeah.
Let's all get married.
Oh, not again.
Congratulations, guys, and we're so thrilled that you could be there, that we were technically celebrating your wedding party with you without us really even realizing at the time. So great, and thanks for getting in touch.
Oh, no worries. Awesome. Thank you so much. Awesome. It was so much fun, and thanks for the most amazing pizza reception.
Ah, there you go. We had to get the pizza out there for you.
Ross and Arrows, because of course we sent the pizza out for everyone in the driveway to enjoy. So we're glad we could do the catering for your wedding.
Yeah, cheers.
The only wedding where the bouquet went flying in the air and everyone went, ole! I don't want to touch it.
Won't touch it. Wish you a long and happy life together, guys.
Oh, cheers. Thanks, folks. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Offer and James, who got married in Bayswater the weekend. And it's just sparked my memory. 28th of April, 2 months till Matt Dudkinski gets married.
How
good's that?
The Zoom wedding we don't have to dress up for.
Oh, how dare you? Kimber. Of course you have to dress up.
I'm wearing a frock. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed. Children are sponges, there's no doubt about it. They look at our behaviour and they follow it. And this four-year-old in England has done just that. Fortunately, his father stopped him just before this could go through. But he grabbed his parents' credit card. This is a four-year-old in England.
Four.
And was stopped just before he spent $1,000 or £500 on groceries at Tesco's.
Yeah.
And his shopping list included nearly $1,000. Of the mini pepperoni sticks, pepperamis.
Yeah.
Also, 120 Viennese wheels and like 1,000 Bakewell tarts and Fab Ice lollies. Also, 24 Cumberland sausages and a bunch of bananas.
Hey! Kid was hungry.
He was hungry. His dad grabbed him and said, son, what are you doing? And he said, I want to have more food than everyone else. So, you know, following, adult behaviour.
Yep.
His dad said, we don't have enough money for that sort of thing. He said, I want to help. I want to contribute. And he pulled out 14 pence.
Oh,
that's cute.
I mean, didn't we all take a 20-cent piece from mum and dad's dresser and spend it on lollies? Oh. This is just inflation.
Many times.
Yes, he didn't have access to the credit card and the computer either.
That's incredible that he's that age. What was his name? Gordon Gekko? Greed is good?
Exactly. The company that makes the said pepperoni sticks has found out about this, of course, because it's gone mad on social media, as everything does, and has penned a letter to him saying, to the mini meathead who attempted to order 990 pepperamis, let's just say you've got great taste. And, of course, they're sending him a package of the said pepperoni sticks.
So they're feeding the greed.
They're feeding the greed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, good.
Good lessons to be learnt there.
Yeah. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5. So schools seem to be the canary in the mine a little bit, and we're using that as a touchstone to getting life back to normal. And T, my partner, and I have talked long and hard about this, and my stepdaughter, Steppy D, wants to go back to school, so we're going to do that tomorrow.
Mm. And we've been so fortunate with the numbers in WA looking the way that they are. People feel safe to do it. But it's just been so many mixed opinions about it. I think it's wonderful that they're still giving you the choice, that you don't have to send your school kids in, if you send them to school if you don't want to. Particularly, they're saying 11 and 12s you should get back because you've got limited time. But I did see a funny joke going around online where people were saying, if they really want to play NRL and football at the moment, why don't they just get them to play it on school ovals or do it in the stadium and only invite school kids and teachers because they're all immune to this.
Completely safe.
Right, yes.
Yeah, you know, and I get that. I get that how contradictory this all seems.
Yeah, and also it's a different world. Like Laurie looks after kindy kids and she has to go, she'll be going up and meeting them at the gate because it's a bit of kiss and drop work going on and you can't really do that with four-year-olds. They won't be able to find their way to a kindy class, so there'll be a collection of kids that they'll march down to the classrooms around the school, and you don't know how many are heading back tomorrow as well.
No, and it just does point into that sort of confusion of message at a time when, you know, we've been told before the easing of restrictions, like, do not do this, unless you're a hairdresser. You know, so there's been a couple of sort of things that have gone, what? And so schools maybe is one of them. I don't know. But we're going
to
do it.
We just wanted to get your thoughts on how you feel about getting the kids back to school or whether you're a teacher and you're heading back and see where you're all at in Perth.
Yes, we spoke with the Premier, Mark McGowan, about schools reopening, and here's what he had to say.
My own children were going back to school. All of the advice is that schools are safe. Children are very low transmitters. We're doing everything about the warnings for parents to stay outside the grounds, everything that we can to keep schools safe. But that'll happen as of tomorrow. We'll again monitor that, see how it goes. But we have every expectation that it will be a safe environment for both staff and students.
Yeah, 133 53. Our lines are open to Bell Divers. G'day, Rick.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. We're going well. How about yourselves? And what's going on with your kids?
Yeah, we're getting there through this tough time. But yeah, the kids are going back to school tomorrow. I've got two. One at high school and one at primary, but the one at primary definitely needs to go back. He's got ADHD, so he needs a routine. At home, he thinks that's his safe place where he doesn't have to do any homework, so he needs to go back to school to get that learning from, yeah.
Oh, how was homeschooling working out for you, Rick? Are you a teacher?
No, we're not a teacher, and that's why we're not qualified to do that, and that school, I think, is in the best place for that. So that's where we think we need to be, and we've got no issues sending him back there to learn, yeah.
Oh, Rick, and I tell you what, mate, you're not on your own. I thought I was going to be really good at this homeschooling thing. I thought I was going to, like, step up and be, like, something out of, what's that Robin Williams film? Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society. Yeah.
Complete and utter failure.
You thought you were going to seize the day.
And you know, one of the main things, Rick, and I don't know if you're feeling this, I'm just really, really conscious of my stepdaughter needing to the, let alone the educational side of thing. It's more that I don't want her to become sort of socially frightened. I think she needs to get back out there and mix with her own generation.
I think so too, mate. And it gives us a new appreciation of teachers and what they go through. So well done to them.
Social interaction. Yeah. And less of the dad humour.
Yeah. Good on you, Rick. Thank you.
All the best, bud.
Cheers, good luck.
Let's go to Stirling too. How about you? Are you going to send your kids back to school?
Yes, I am. I'm sending my daughter, who's in year 10, to school tomorrow. Can't wait. So lunch is packed. She's got a school uniform ready. And so because being at home, it's so much distractions that they can't really study, even though I try to stick to a routine, but it doesn't work, whereas at school is a good face-to-face learning for them.
Yeah. I've felt the same about gym memberships. I'm kind of like, oh, if I go to the gym, I feel like I have to do it. And everyone goes, oh, you can work out from home. And you go, yeah, but do you? Do you really?
You put in the same effort.
Yeah.
My son's first year in uni as well, so I'm hoping the uni will open because then they can get back to that routine that started, you know, being on studying as well too. I mean, some of the lectures are online and all that, but it's okay. But if, you know, if they're there, they get to interact, they can, you know, ask or, I mean, during the school holiday, my son was studying and he had exams and all that online and everything, but it's not the same because then he'll sit on the computer, study, and then he'll sit on the computer, socialise his friends. So basically, I have to get a crowbar and dig him out of that chair.
Sure. Yeah.
That's understandable. Yeah. So, and you feel safe to send them back. So if that's, you know, that's great that kids are going to return.
Yes, she will be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
before you go, THU, where did that name come from? What does that mean?
I was born in Vietnam. It means autumn.
Beautiful.
So that, yeah.
Never seen that
before. That's your season.
Well, it's a beautiful 2 day today, isn't it?
It is, yes. Very nice.
All the best with the kids and yourself as well in this tough time. And good to chat with you. Thanks for your honesty.
Thank you.
Nicole in Mandurah, you're not so sure.
No, I'm not sending my daughter back to school just yet. It's just a little bit uncertain. There's not a lot of information about how many kids have been tested, what are the rates on kids. But my biggest concern as a teacher and a parent is the public transport. We don't know how the buses are being cleaned, the kids lining up to get on buses and off buses. It's a massive thing. And some of our high school kids are young adults. They're 17, 18 years old. And we sort of think of schools as primary school kids, but our HR kids are young adults and are vulnerable.
Yeah, dog's not happy about it either, Nicole.
No, they're not.
Don't worry, Nicole, we're used to having dogs barking in the background on this show. Doesn't faze us at all.
I think they want to stay home too.
Really interested to hear what you're saying, Nicole, because as I've said before, my partner T and I have agonised over this. We took my stepdaughter out of school before the school holidays because we were feeling very anxious. And we're really sort of now in a position where we're just trying to do what we're being advised to do for the sake of our child.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. I don't know what other schools are like, but I know that our principal had some concerns over the supply of hand sanitizer and that sort of stuff. So that was a real issue for us, especially at the end of last term, when we actually, we didn't have the stuff to keep us safe or the kids. So that was another issue. So I understand Mark McGowan's position, absolutely, in the economy and parents tearing their hairs out, but I get that. But in terms of keeping our kids safe, we're dealing with an unknown thing, and there's no data out there around it, especially around our kids.
Well, make no mistake, Nicole. You know, we respect our medical fraternity, but you're definitely on the front line as a teacher as well. So thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
It's Nicole.
Thanks,
Amanda.
Nicole.
Yeah, let's go to High Wycombe. G'day, Denise.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. We're going well. We're very appreciative that we can be here and having a chat with you guys. But it's good that you called 133353. You're sending the kids back tomorrow.
Yes, I actually, before Mark made his announcement, I said to the boys, I have a feeling he's going to say, you know, you are able to go back, so what will you choose? And they both said, before he made the announcement, they would go back. One son's doing ATAR, year 12, the other son's in year 9 at a public high school. So they made the decision before Mark said it anyway. They're both, you know, raring. The year 12's been studying every day. He's wanting to do well. He's trying to get to uni. I have no qualms. I work in a high school. I'm driving now, Bluetooth. I have no qualms about it at all.
And Denise, just hearing our last caller, who is a teacher, with her concerns, does that sort of, you know, trouble you or change your mind at all?
No, I mean, I work in a high school. I'm an EA. I'm not a teacher, but I work closely with kids. Even leading up to the end of the term, we had one lot of hand sanitizer per department. But the kids were keeping social distances as best. Some of the older kids were hugging and kissing each other because that's what they do when they have a relationship. They didn't care about social distancing, even though we told them. What disappoints me is the public versus private. You know, in the schools, my kids are public, but I've got, you know, a sister-in-law that's got kids that go to Catholic school. She's not allowed to send her kids back, you know. It's just disappointing. It's that, you know, why can't we all be one? And, yes, it's great parents have the choice, and absolutely, if you choose not to, that's absolutely fantastic, because you know we live in a democracy, But Catholic children don't get that. You know, unless you're an essential worker, you don't actually have that choice. Apparently, you know, that's what they've been told.
I suppose, Denise, maybe the balance will come from, you know, there'll be a natural balance with parents who do send their kids back and parents who don't. It will help over the next couple of weeks curb whatever might be coming anyway, you know. So that hopefully there'll just be less numbers and it will make life a little bit easier in that transition.
Absolutely. I mean, with, you know, people, you know, respectfully not sending their kids to school, absolutely, it makes it, you know, less numbers for people who do choose to send their kids to school, for sure, which is great. But as I say, some parents aren't actually getting the choice to send their kids to school, because they go to a Catholic, you know, or a school who's choosing to say, don't send your kids. So that's, you know, to me, those parents aren't getting the choice that we are in a public school. So,
hey, Denise, good to chat. All the best here. And, of course, EAs, the often unheralded workhorses in the classroom. Good on you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thanks for recognising all the thousands of EAs out there. Thank you. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Monday, April 27, the state government decided to change the limit of people for an indoor or outdoor gathering, raised to 10 people based on expert health advice. Just part of the subtle changes coming in, guys. And Matt, it's having an impact on people's activities already.
Yeah, I went to the shops and, you know, one of the majors, it doesn't matter which one, I'm sure it was played out the same. And, you know, they have all the sort of barriers there to limit and make sure people go in the right way.
Yeah.
There was no line, but when I walked into the shop, it was absolutely heaving.
Right.
And I did feel a little bit uncomfortable and thought, oh, my God, have we just sort of thrown out all... you know, social distancing straight off the bat. I mean, it was almost impossible to negotiate your way around the shops without getting closer than I have been to other people who don't live in my house for quite some time.
Yeah, and I wonder whether I've sort of adapted easier than I thought I would. I'm quite an extrovert. I love going out and about and seeing friends, and I've just really taken to this new life.
Yep.
And I don't know whether I felt panicked because we were baking on the weekend and we were one ingredient down. And I was like, it's worth going to the shops. We'll just go get it. But of course, it was Saturday. It was Anzac Day, so everything was shut. And we went to the Coventry Markets in Morley to go to the Spud Shed there. And it was jammed with people. There were people everywhere. Every store was open. You could buy a mobile phone cover if you wanted. There were people just so close together that I panicked and said, let's leave. We'll just ditch the baking efforts.
Oh, you don't think that people are concerned of being a jump in cases and they're all doing their Christmas shopping, do you, Kimber? Because that's what it sounds like, Christmas crowds.
It does. And I guess I got a surprise and maybe that's what everyone's been doing the whole time and we didn't know, but we haven't left the house very much. The three of us have been quite isolated.
Hey, guys, is it a sign that Laurie and I have this favourite car park overlooking the Swan River where we go for a picnic, and never before has this car park been full and we haven't got a spot? So we went there yesterday and the car park was full on the day that the restrictions were lifted. So we had to
We
ended up going for a drive along the beach. We ended up parking at Cottesloe and eating lunch in the car. But I just thought it was bizarre that that was the day, that was the one day when restrictions were lifted and the car park was joggers.
Absolutely. And it does sort of tell you a lot about us as a species. It's like, what's the first thing you want to do when all of this sort of when the restrictions are lifted?
Yeah.
I want to buy stuff.
Yeah.
I want to consume.
What was the very first thing you wanted to do? Let's go to Safety Bay. Morning, Jules.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good.
We're pretty good. We're just happy we can have a chat.
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing? Even I feel happy because we aren't grounded anymore.
You're out of your bedroom.
Jules, what was the first thing you did when restrictions were lifted?
Oh, my God, this is so funny. I don't have an oven in my house. I've only got an air fryer. So I actually took a heap of ingredients to my girlfriend's place and we made choc chip biscuits.
Hey!
Oh, nice.
That's brilliant. Please tell
us. Is that how you sold it to her, Jules? Yeah. I'm coming over to use your oven.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Please tell me they're all eaten already, Jules.
Just about.
Yeah.
But it's the little things that make you happy, isn't it, Jules? You're like, all I need to do is see a friend, do a little bake-off, everything's good.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I'm a real baker, so I really miss my oven, but I can make cake, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, oh, good.
Fan-forced friendship there, Jules. Well done.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Good on you, Jules. Hey, all the best. Good to hear your voice.
No worries. Well, guys, have a good day.
Let's go to Belga. G'day, Robert. Welcome.
Hello, Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, Robert. What was the first thing you did when the restrictions were lifted?
Well, it happened a little bit before, but I wrote this song. I hope you people start singing out there in radio land. Give me one second.
Okay.
Love sausage. Oh, wrong one. Sorry, my bad. I love coronavirus. Put another sneeze in your hanky, baby. I miss pussycat dolls.
Well. You've been writing songs, Robert. That's your plan.
Sorry?
You've been writing songs to get over the restrictions.
I have, mate. I've been up and down my walls like a crazy cat.
And now you've got a bit of stage fright.
Sorry?
You're okay there, Robert? You all good?
Say that again?
Mate, there was great creative juices flowing there. Well done.
Thank you. I missed a couple of words, but, you know.
Nah, that's okay.
Oh, I know the feeling, Robert. That's all right. As long as the energy's there and the passion, and yep. You got that.
I worked at Hollywood for a little while in the catering, so I'd like to say hello to everyone in catering at Hollywood, please. Would that be okay?
Yeah, well, you've done it.
Yeah. Good job, Robert.
Cheers, guys. Have a lovely day,
thanks,
people.
Mate.
You too, mate.
Hollywood Hospital legends.
Excellent. Well, it's good. I've got someone I can write songs with now. Excellent. Yeah. Susie in Byford. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Matt. How are you going?
Yeah, all right, my darling. Now, what was the first thing you did when you heard about these restrictions being lifted?
I looked on Wikicamps on the phone to look up somewhere to go camping.
Ooh.
And now have you found a place?
Yes.
Are you going to tell
so
us?
So when are you heading off camping, Sue?
No, as soon as we can.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
Have you got a secret spot that's perfect, have you?
It's not a secret spot, but there's a lot of people who have got caravans who like to do this, and I'm not saying where I'm going in case they want to say, we'll have a look. Yeah, that's like.
Yeah, smart.
Okay.
And there'll be too many people there, and we're about to sit in.
Yeah, you're right.
So also, Sue's basically just rung in to tease us all, basically.
Nah.
And yeah, I love that, you know, we're talking about what you do when restrictions are lifted and basically you still want to stay in your caravan. So good on you.
Well, that's fine. That's no worries.
Yeah. Well, you don't want too many numbers in your special spot there. So you're safe social distancing. No. Well done.
That's right. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Sue. Take care.
Yeah.
See you again one day. Bye.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so. I hope Sue hasn't earmarked your special spot near the Swan River there, Claire, as you depart the caravan.
The part of the car park's probably full again this morning. People are everywhere.
It's make-out point, Claire. Everyone's going there. Claire, Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Look, I think I'm a decent bloke. I think I'm not a bad partner. I can step up in many departments. I'm not bad in the kitchen. I clean. I mop floors. I vacuum. I work in the garden.
Why does it sound like there's a but?
Oh, there is a but.
I was waiting for legend in the bedroom. Yeah. Yep.
I hold my own, but only just. I'm not someone who immediately thinks about romantic things.
Okay.
You know, I'm not the sort of person that comes home with a bunch of flowers. And I wish I was, because I know how special those sorts of things can be. They're just small things, but they make a big difference. But I don't do that kind of thing. It never comes into my mind. I'm probably selfish and self-obsessed, you know. But I decided I needed to do something. And over the weekend, myself and Steppy D, and I paid her for it. I said, right, I've got a proper job for you to be the maitre d' at our made-up home restaurant.
That's right. You were going to do a little something.
Yes, so we did it, and she was awesome. She set the table. She put candles there. We told my partner T to go upstairs and not to come down until a certain time.
Was it like my kitchen rules, bud? Did you have the name of the restaurant?
Yes, we did. Blimey, what was it called? Oh, I'll remember that in a minute.
Yeah, bring it up later. Yeah.
And sure enough, as T came down the stairs, she was met by my stepdaughter who said, "Welcome, madam, your date is waiting for you."
Oh, brilliant.
And she came down, and then I had to excuse myself to go and put money in the parking meter, but actually I was heading off to the local Japanese to get the takeaway that night's dinner. And it was really, really cool, and you know, the best part of it was it was nice and romantic and sweet as a little family thing. But the acting from my stepdaughter Steppy D was faultless as she took the role of the maitre d' in this restaurant. It was brilliant.
Oh, that's awesome! And was your partner T happy with her date in the end?
Oh, I think so. It was very cute. It ended up being a real good bonding session for the whole family, and we had a lot of fun. It was really sweet.
Matty, does that mean you can claim the job?
Do anything? Sorry, buddy.
Can you claim the JobKeeper allowance to pay the maitre d'?
Yes, I have. And, you know, I'm finally helping to keep Australians employed. And the great thing is now that I don't have to do anything romantic. That gets me off the hook until about 2024.
Says the bloke is getting married in 2 months from today. Good one.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it. Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5. The federal government's COVID Safe app, which is up and about, and over a million people already downloading the app at this point, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually thought it was even more than a million.
And, 2 million in 24 hours.
Yeah, it was a million really, really quickly, though. That's the point I was making.
Yeah, absolutely. So people are feeling confident about it. They think it's a good thing. And they've believed the reassurances from government that the data will be safe.
Yeah, a few people said there's a couple of little glitches in the system, but nothing major. Just sometimes when people were typing in their mobile phone number, it was struggling, and it does need your mobile number because that's how it notifies you if you've been in direct contact with someone who was tested positive for COVID. And the tech nerds say it's all safe.
Yeah, this is what Trevor Long, our tech guru, had to say about it.
What it is all about is your phone using Bluetooth, not GPS, so no location tracking, uses Bluetooth to communicate with other phones that it's nearby. So if you go to the shops, the cafe, or you're just, you know, meeting up with people socially distant, your phone keeps a little record, and it keeps that list on your phone, not on government servers, on your phone.
So they're saying they need about 40% of the population, around about 10 million people to be involved, so that it works most effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. A few more people to jump on board because that's how we're going to know, especially with the restrictions being a bit less now. We can get out and about, so this will help keep people safe in a greater herd kind of mentality, I suppose.
Yeah, and I have been reading up about it. I'll have to say I haven't yet downloaded the app. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it sounds like it's all right. And the more I read about it from people who seem to be quite independently minded on the sort of tech expertise side of things, are saying, in their opinion, the data seems to be protected and encrypted in a way that they feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, Laurie heading back to school as a EA, education assistant. She uploaded on the weekend, and I did it last night. And downloaded this thing, and it took me about 3 minutes to go through the whole procedure. I don't have a problem if it helps to save lives and make the information available.
No, it's all very easy, and I did a lot of research on it. As you guys know, I don't tend to go for these sorts of things. I haven't got the app. I'm not signing up to it, but by all accounts, it does appear to be safe at this point. My main problem with it is that it says in the agreement to it, it says it may change permissions at any time. So my thing with that is that if the government make changes later, then obviously updates, for example, we don't really approve those. I don't know anyone who reads through before they agree to an update. So changes could happen. So I'm not ready to do it yet, but I have want others to get it so that they don't make it compulsory.
So you want to make sure the uptake is 10 million. You don't have to be told to do it.
So I love the fact that you're not doing it because you're actively not doing it. I'm not doing it in a typical sort of Dictinsky way because I can't be bothered. And I'm hoping that eventually it'll just be like, you're right, mate. Don't worry about it.
Can't be bothered taking the 3 minutes.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's all subjective, isn't it? It's all your own personal choice with
things
like this.
But as we said, by all accounts, all the research I've done with all the tech people, they all say it's very safe to use. So on your mission.
And to be fair to you, Kimber, and to all of us, you know, the government can't be surprised that we're a little bit suspicious about where our data is kept and how safe it is. You know, there's been multiple situations over the years of that stuff being, you know, compromised. So I don't think it's that sort of tinfoil hat to be worried about.
Mind you, I reckon I've signed up to 20 things in the past couple of years that probably give more data than this one.
Yes, quite
of course.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We all know that. We've got Facebook and all those sorts of things. But I think I'm always from the position of I like people to have choice. So as long as I've got choice, then I'm happy for everyone to execute it in whichever way they feel.
The choice is yours.
Since I made friends with my Nigerian prince bloke, I'm pretty happy with that. All that
you're sort of good with that?
All that money coming.
I'm fine.
It's all taken care of.
That Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up was for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.